So the second point will be on a second file, Josh, or whoever's putting this stuff up. So Ephesians 5 in verse 8. You know, the Apostle Paul here is talking to a church, right? Okay, so all of these letters in the New Testament, they're written to Christians or saved people. They're written to churches, okay? And so that kind of changes our frame of reference a little bit, right? Because I think if we're not Christians, we read them through non-Christian eyes and we go, wow, that's a really high calling. But sometimes it's even more challenging to read these things as a Christian and go, how come I don't think more like that? Because clearly these things are directed to people that are supposed to know better, right? Which is always encouraging to me. When I see some huge mistake being corrected in one of these letters, I feel like, oh, it's okay that I'm not there yet. You know, it's all right that I'm still growing. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. And Paul is reminding the church in Ephesus that they're supposed to be different than the way that they're living. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that as a Christian, where you wake up and you go, man, maybe I don't think I'm really living much like a Christian these days. Lots of people have experienced that. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything that's exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of the times is the literal translation there, right? Making the most of the time that you have, of every moment, of every opportune time, because the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then he goes on and he gives a list of some specific sins that they're clearly committing that they are to avoid. And again, my second point very simply is time for a change. You know, Paul is challenging the church in Ephesus. He's saying, you know what? Some of you don't live the way that you're supposed to live. They've forgotten. And so he compares and contrasts their old life with their new. And he says, you know what? You once were darkness, but now you're supposed to be light in the Lord. And so I have a series of things, maybe a checklist, if you will, or scorecard's a bit of a funny word, but just some things that he challenges them on that I'd like us to think about as we kind of close out here. So he begins, he says, with this phrase, that you were once this way, now you're light in the Lord. How different are you now from before you came to know Jesus? I don't mean your schedule, because you're coming to church more, you're all here. Maybe you've even moved into a Christian house. Maybe you've even married a Christian man or a Christian woman. I mean in your heart, how different is your thinking now, your attitudes about race, gender, money, culture? How different are we now than we were before we were in Christ? Are we different? Is there a before and after picture that's crystal clear in my mind? I was once this way. I was dark and light. Those things are about as different as you can imagine. It's not I was once light and now I'm gray, or I was once gray and I'm less gray or more gray. No, it's I was black and now I'm white. I was white and now I'm whatever. I mean, I was dark and now I'm light. And I'm so different that you would never mistake me for what I once was. How different are we? Number two, find out what pleases the Lord. You know, one of the things that happens to us as we get along in our Christian lives is we practice what I call the gospel of sin management. And our whole objective is just to see how much trouble we can stay away from, but we don't actually pursue righteousness at all. He says, no, that the goal isn't just to stop doing bad things, but it's to figure out what makes God happy and do that as much as I can. Yeah. Think about this in a marriage. You know, I don't want to just not be grumpy with Jeannie. I actually want to make her happy. And so what I'm interested in is not just what she doesn't like about me, but what makes her feel great about me. And I want to do those things. I want to clean the house. I want to give the flowers. I want to give the rub her hair and kiss her, you know, in the morning and be gentle and I don't know, you know, not leave my dirty underwear and socks around the house or all those other things, you know. It's not just... And buy her flowers and write her cards and be sensitive. It's not just about not leaving my stuff around, but it's about being proactive and doing things that make her happy. Yep. What makes God happy? Are we looking for the things that make God happy, and are we going after those things? I know one of the things that makes me happy is when people talk to me and take an interest in what I'm about. I think God is exactly like that. God wants us to talk to Him. Yeah. How much time do you spend talking to God? Not asking Him for things, conversing. I know one of the things that frustrates me personally a lot is when I'm having a conversation, but the other person is not listening to me. Yeah. Do we listen to God? You go, I don't know, how do I do that? Well, you read His Word for one thing, yeah. Right? But God also uses people in our lives to help us understand what He wants. He brings circumstances into our lives to challenge our thinking and to shape and direct us. Are we in tune? Are we listening to? How's our conversation with God? My prayer life, my Bible study, basic obedience. I know one of the things that encourages me a lot is being considered. If Jeannie has a major decision that she needs to make, I expect her to consider me and to discuss it with me. This is basic relational stuff. I think sometimes we make enormous decisions in our life and we don't talk to God about it at all. We don't consider at all what He thinks. A job, a relationship, where I should live, a major purchase, a major decision with a child. We run into our lives and we have all these massive decisions that we make and we don't consider God at all. How would that work if you conducted your marriage that way? Or your relationship with your roommates that way? Or if you parented your children with lack of consideration? You wouldn't have a very good relationship. Find out what pleases the Lord. Number three, how's your relationship with the darkness? You know, because all of us do have a relationship with the darkness. We're surrounded by it. We live in a world that's filled with darkness. And I'm going to share something here that I've shared many, many times. But I'm increasingly concerned about what we watch and what we listen to in our culture. Right? You know, think about something like reality TV. I mean, you know, the text says here that not only should I flee from the darkness, but I should actually expose it. That I should not have any conversation. Right? Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, right? It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. The Greek word there actually means it's shameful to converse about these things. In other words, I'm not even supposed to talk about sin, let alone watch it, listen to it, or do it. And so I don't understand how we can listen to music or watch TV or read magazine articles that glorify sin and talk about sin and have full conversations about the reality of Big Brother or Big Sister or whatever these other garbage programs on. How can a Christian watch these things and not be in violation of this text? Our culture is polluted with this stuff. Are you discerning? Parents, do you know what your kids are watching? Do you know what they're listening to? Check their internet history. You're not being a creep. You're being a parent. You're the parent. They don't choose. You choose. You're the parent. It's not their choice. It's your choice. You watch garbage, you'll be garbage. You fill your mind with pollution, your heart will be polluted. What do we watch and what do we listen to? Very concerning to me. These things. Our culture is polluted with this stuff. Number four, exposure brings clarity. You know, it says that not only are we not to sin and not to listen to it, but when we see it, we're supposed to bring it out. Well, that'll make you super popular. You know, Sam alluded to a conversation they needed to have in their house. I don't know the context, but based on the scripture, I can imagine that there needed to be a little bit of light. There needed to be some exposure, you know. How do we feel about being exposed? I hate it. I hate it when somebody calls me out. It embarrasses me. But if it's happening in this context, I should be grateful for that. Because it's a chance to walk in the light. It's a chance to be like Christ, which is my goal. My goal is not to look good or not to stay out of trouble. It's actually to be like Jesus. So anything that exposes something that's not like Jesus, I'm actually supposed to appreciate. Yeah. Exposure brings clarity. Amen. You know, how are we doing with just confessing our sins to one another? Specifically, talking about the areas where we struggle. Being grateful for the light in our lives. And finally, how do we use our time? You know, at the end of this text, it says we need to make the most of the time we have because the days are evil. You know, the truth is, it is about time. For some of us, it's about time that we responded to the gospel and took God a lot more seriously in our lives. It is high time. It's well time. It's nigh time. It's about time. And then on the other hand, I think for a lot of us, if we're Christians, maybe it's also time to stop putting off those disciplines and begin to listen to God in ways that we haven't before and stop procrastinating, waiting for that perfect moment when we have a time to act right now. We can choose today to live differently and to stop making excuses. So check your watch and check your life. It is about time. It's not about timing. It's time to change. Amen.